KALW.
Today, I am freaking out a little bit, but just saw a headline that unemployment could go as high as 32%. This is, quote, Great Depression territory.
It's been just a little over 3 weeks since the Bay Area's shelter-in-place policy took effect, and it's dramatically changed how most of us live and work.
Today, I realized that a community is almost like a person. Losing it can be just as painful as losing a person.
As part of our ongoing Quarantine Diaries series, we'll hear from people around the Bay about daily life during the coronavirus epidemic. And we continue our global reporter check-ins. This time we go to Uganda.
The general mood is very quiet. Most of the times people are locked down in their homes.
That's coming up. I'm Hanat Baba, and this is Cross Currents. This week, we've been checking in with some reporters around the world to learn more about the effect coronavirus has had on people globally. And these reporters we're talking to, they have something in common. They are or were affiliated with KALW. Africa has seen some of the lowest numbers worldwide, with just over 7,000 cases on the whole continent. South Africa registered the highest number with 1,686 cases. Algeria had the highest death toll at 173. But much of Africa hasn't seen any deaths, like Uganda. That's where Rebecca Burungi is based. She's a former KALW exchange journalist who spent some time in our newsroom. She's back now in Kampala, Uganda, and I checked in with her about the situation there. Now, recording this interview was a little tricky. There was no reliable connection for calls. I sent her my questions, and she recorded her answers and sent them over.
And most of these cases are a result of people returning back from abroad, and there are fewer cases of people who are actually been within the country.
So, Rebecca, how has the coronavirus epidemic affected Uganda?
Coronavirus is affecting Uganda on a large scale. First of all, most of the businesses have been closed down. This is as a result of the coronavirus disease. For example, only food markets are allowed to operate. Even those food markets that have been allowed to operate, there have been guidance and instructions for the people to abide by. For example, the seller is supposed to leave 4 meters in front, 4 meters behind, and 4 meters sideways, so that there isn't a closer interaction between the buyer and the seller. Because of the total lockdown, the food prices for commodities have actually more than doubled. For example, the price of a bar of soap has been about $2-3, and now it's more than $3.
What government measures have been taking? What have they directed the population to do?
Specifically, the president of Uganda has been addressing the nation consecutively more than at least twice a week. For example, the first thing that was done was to put a total lockdown for 14 days. Apart from food markets and supermarkets that are allowed to operate, the rest are not operating. Secondly, the government has also put a curfew which has been effected from 1st of April 2020. This means that the curfew starts from 7 p.m. all the way to 6:30 a.m. So no one is allowed to move or even to go anywhere.
Rebecca, can you describe the general mood in Uganda?
Generally, the general mood is very quiet. Most of the times people are locked down in their homes, watching TV, not going to churches as opposed to the usual businesses. So now what is happening is that people, some sects of the population are resorting to jogging, doing exercises. Also now government has come in to advise the populace not to jog for fear of spreading the disease.
And what are some of the big news stories coming out of Uganda right now in relation to coronavirus?
One of the big stories that we have is the community turning against the affected persons or people who have been affected or people whom they suspect that they have coronavirus. There's been a new wave of violence against the people who may have skipped or may have been released and their results were negative, meaning that they are not suffering from coronavirus. So there is what we call communal violence. People are turning against some of the affected persons. For example, there have been cases of three gentlemen and one woman who has been beaten from Hoima, another one from Kayunga, then the other person is from Chengela. So some of these people have been affected. Then there is also misinformation by some of the people who think that coronavirus is not there, and they think that it's not real and it's not a threat. So what is happening is that they are using the social media to misinform the public. The other big news is that for the first time that there is a total lockdown, government has stepped up to provide food to the vulnerable poor in most of the country. This is because even in the urban population, we have what we call the urban poor, some of the people who earn daily monies to be able to buy food. So those are some of the big news that are making headlines down here in Uganda.
Rebecca Burungi is a former KALW exchange journalist. Today she's based in Kampala, Uganda, and spoke to me through WhatsApp. You can hear the rest of our reporter interviews. Go to kalw.org. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. It's been 24 days since the shelter-in-place order went into effect in the region. Since then, as part of our ongoing series, Quarantine Diaries, a team of reporters from KALW has been checking in regularly with a mix of people from around the bay, including a teacher, a restaurant owner, an artist, a grocery store worker, a nurse, and a 10-year-old. Together, this group is sketching out our new shared reality and how the pandemic is changing how we live and how we work.
It's day 17 of shelter in place. I'm a shift manager at a grocery store. Today I am, I guess, within the last hour or so, freaking out a little bit, or maybe the last 20 minutes. I just saw a headline pop up on my phone that unemployment could go as high as 32%, and this is, quote, Great Depression territory, and so that makes me a little nervous. The tape that we had on the floor, marking out 6-foot, distances between people standing in line, those are now turned into nice little round social distancing cues with feet on them. Just looks more permanent, seems like it will be. Starting tomorrow, everybody who works here will have their temperature taken before they hit the time clock. If they have over 100.4 degree temperature, then they will be sent home. There is no more bulk of any kind in our store. No bulk coffee, no bulk spices, grains, granola, nuts, seeds, water. Heard from a customer who was trying to get his groceries delivered. He called us here at the store to see if there was anything that we could do as far as getting him groceries. Man who said he was in his 80s and he's got a wife in the house who's basically in hospice is what he said. He told me that she's dying. And I guess there is food that she needs that he can only get at our store. And he's unable to get out to get her that food. And he's got caretakers that are there helping him and his wife. They're basically in separate parts of their house and he can't see his wife who's dying. And that really f***ing got to me. What's up, man? What's up? Okay, is your checklist all filled out for the cleaning duties? Sounds great. Do you guys still have a bottle down there?
We are not going back to school this year. There's a lot of disappointment, and there's still a lot that remains to be seen. I teach primarily seniors. I'm about to be checking in with two of them, virtually, of course, and just kind of seeing how they're both feeling about everything.
Hi, Mr. Milley.
Hi. How's it going?
It's going okay. What has quarantine been like for you guys as seniors about to graduate from high school?
It's sad that we won't really get to experience what a regular senior would experience in a high school,
yeah,
like prom. So it sucks, but mm-hmm. at the end, like, I think about the people who have it worse than me.
Yeah.
They're probably, like, suffering way more than I do. They're thinking about their actual lives being put into jeopardy. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that I've personally just been so heartbroken for all of you guys myself.
Yeah. I think it's, like, talking about school-wise, it's, like, no one, like, really expected it, like, to be their last day, and, like, every student, like, saying, if I knew it was, like, it was my last day, I would have done this, or, like, I would have, like, do more with my friends, and, like, yeah, instead of, like, being quarantined.
Yeah. I wasn't actually there on the last day before everything got shut down. Yeah, I took a flight to Texas, and I swear, I feel like I got on a plane, and just the entire world broke. You know, it was like mm-hmm. everything is just coming to this weird screeching halt, you know? You for sure are going to be, I mean, you're connected to so many people across the world now. Like, I think a little bit, this is one positive thing. I think about you meeting people as you grow older, and this is going to be one of those moments in history, like, hey, where were you when, like, everybody had to go into quarantine? And there's going to be a big part of our population that was like, oh, I didn't graduate. I had to stay home. And you're all, like, a part of that one in time, you know?
Yeah. It's day 17, and today I realize that a community is almost like a person. Losing it can be just as painful as losing a person. It's an epiphany I had today when I was talking to my husband during lunch, and I was telling him about a video from my daughter's fifth grade teacher that he sent of himself to the class right after Governor Gavin Newsom announced that school was cancelled for the rest of the academic year. He was mourning the fact that we won't be having graduation ceremonies for fifth grade and celebrating the 6 years that we've all spent together at Blossom Hill Elementary, this amazing community that I've been, myself, my husband and my daughter have been so lucky to be part of. And I won't be able to say goodbye in person. It's been such a big part of my life. I know I'll be able to see them afterwards, but it's different. So that's what I mean when I feel sad about losing a community.
Day 18. I'm Sophia Mitra, a fifth grader at Blossom Hill Elementary. Yesterday was April Fool's, and since it was April Fool's, I told my mom a few jokes. I also learned today that school was canceled for the rest of the year. I was pretty bummed because I had one of the best teachers. This was a pretty bad year for me.
Day 19. I'm Matt Schuster, the chef and owner of Canela Bistro. I have friends in the business who knew enough to know that they didn't know enough, and so they shut down from day one. You know, many people like us shifted their model to to-go, and some people are doing okay. Most people I talk to are doing about 25% of what they had been used to doing. I decided to apply for the CARES Act program. The program provides 100% federally guaranteed loans to small businesses. And so we applied for that. I mean, you kind of like get in line and who knows what happens. In the meantime, San Francisco had, you know, advertised that they were giving extra sick paid sick leave, but then that we applied for that and immediately got an email that said it was exhausted. There's only so much honey in the pot.
I am Inga Petrova. Day 20. Just before the quarantine started, I stopped drinking. Again, I keep doing this every year. And it's quite impossible, I must say. I did get drunk once, but only once.
Today is day 21 of the quarantine here in San Francisco. My name is Laurencia Wuriastami. I'm a nurse practitioner taking care of elderly patients in skilled nursing facilities. This quarantine has been a lot of highs and lows for me. The highs really come when I'm working and I feel very, very tense, very, very stressed at work. I fear for myself. I fear for my patients. I fear for the staff taking care of these very vulnerable people. The lows come in when I'm at home and I sort of fill my days with as much hobbies as I can muster. I bake a lot of bread and pie, work out as much as I can tolerate, although it's somewhat dependent on my mood, which has today been a little low because of the rain from the weekend and into today. It's a mixture of sad and bored. I live with my partner, Aaron, my fiance, I should say. We're supposed to have a wedding in the end of June, and I have no idea if it's going to happen. So this state of ambiguity and uncertainty is really difficult to live with sometimes.
So today is day 21. These past couple of days have been pretty uneventful. Although I finally did get my account number from EDD and I was able to log in, and like reported, it's going to be about $450 you get every week. I've cleaned just about every inch I can. There's always something to clean. One thing I do miss is restaurants. I am tempted to go get a Big Mac, but I won't.
It's day 21 of shelter in place. It feels like this whole thing is starting to take a toll on people a little bit. I've definitely in the last couple days seen customers have kind of moved from being really appreciative to being grumpy and irate about things being out of stock and us asking them to social distance within the store. This is a few days ago, but I saw an older man was in a cashier's line, and as she was ringing him up, he took it upon himself to lecture her, and the lecture turned into a bit of shouting. Your generation is the one that's messing this up for everybody.
Day 22. Day 22, I feel that our lives have been simplified, and instead of 100 anxieties, now we just have one. And I appreciate little things more.
It is day 22 of quarantine. I am downstairs watching Netflix. Big surprise there. Yes, I have succumbed to the Tiger King and Exotic Joe madness. All the memes are hilarious. Netflix is my best friend at the moment. I did go to Target on Friday. A friend tipped me off that there was hand sanitizer at Target. Sure enough, I went and there was. And everybody was excited. And you could only get 4 per person, but that's more than enough. What I couldn't get there in time for was the toilet paper. As I was walking in, people had grabbed the last of it. It is day 2 of homeschooling my kid. Yeah, adding by decomposing numbers. What decade? How? You're supposed to take like 265 and you break it down into 200, a 60, and a 5. And then you... No. I'm teaching my kid how I learned. So he's going to go back to 3rd grade with new skills.
So today was supposed to be the day that this was all done, remember? Before it was May 1st and then May 3rd, it was April 7th. There was like a week or week and a half where... You know, everybody was thinking April 7th was going to be this magic day where the corona was like done. It's day 22 and the night before Passover. I mean, right now, all I see is Passover. You know, like the matzah farfel and, harosets and matzah balls. And as I was prepping, my phone kept buzzing with new orders that were coming in. So that was fun. And at some point it got a little bit kind of like, we have to make sure we're able to deliver, which was, you know, stressful, but good. Who knew there were this many Jews in San Francisco? So we had like kind of like today was like all hands on deck. So we were all there. Everybody, you know, who has remained was all there, like assembly lining. In fact, I reached out to one of our workers who we had to furlough and asked him if he wanted to come back and help. And he did. He really did. And he was excited. And then he was like, you know, my roommate is feeling uncomfortable about me breaking the quarantine. And, you know, I told him not to feel bad about that and that he's making the right decision that he needs to make.
It is day 23. Personally, I'm rather dispirited. Working with my students all year was a labor of love. So many of them opened up to me about their struggles, both academically and personally. Seeing a person who, back in September, expressed, you know, they didn't raise their hand because they didn't feel smart enough, but then asking me for a letter of recommendation to be the first in their family to go to college is profound. Seeing another kid who is brand new and nervous about fitting in, but ultimately find their group and frankly radiate happiness is what it's all about for me. So, while I am grateful for my health and shelter, I am ruefully aware of not getting a little more time with people who I sincerely have come to cherish and respect a great deal. I'm sad. And if any of my kids are listening, I just want to say I miss you, and I'm always just an email away.
Hi, my name is Lorencia Uriostami, and this is day 23 of the quarantine in San Francisco. I wear a mask everywhere I go so that I don't expose myself to anything and to the multiple patients that I see every day. And so I don't bring anything home to my partner. What I struggle with is a sense of duty with a balancing of risk. How much risk should I place myself in the service of my patients? Whether or not I'm doing a good job, I don't know. I think I'm just trying to do my best from day to day. my wedding will happen. Maybe not the way that I originally had planned it. It's getting more and more likely. We'll postpone. Almost guaranteed at this point. What I'm hopeful for is that we're able to learn from our mistakes, ideally. To take public health warnings and public health as seriously as we do national security and defense. Because this is an invisible war that none of us living today have ever seen before.
Those were the voices of Matt Schuster, Sarah Lai Sterland, Dakota Milwi, Joshua Sirotiak, Sophia Mitra, Inga Petrova, Stephanie Saravia, Lorenzia Wuryastami, Vincent Ocampo, and CJ Redisendo. If you want to share your own day-by-day story, give us a call. The number is 415-494-7197. Again, that number is 415-494-7197. Today's Cross Currents team includes Janae Darden, Julia Linus Goodman, True Quinn, Marissa Ortega Welch, and Victor Tense. Our engineers are James Rollins, Tariq Foda, and Gabe Graben. Content manager is Shireen Adil. Our managing editor is David Boyer. Deputy news director is Angela Johnston. News director is Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet, as interpreted by Daoud Anthony. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.